All right, so Pastor Joel, he's away today, and he asked me to share a word, and the topic of my message, it's trim the fat. I know it's Christmas season, so I thought, well, it sounds Christmassy, right? Trim the fat. Let's go for a run. I would like to start with reading a scripture. It's going to be here on the screen, the 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They do it in order to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. But I discipline my body and make it slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. Let's take a moment and let's pray. Holy Spirit, more than anything else this morning, we need to hear your voice. We ask you, speak to us. Tune our hearts with you so we can hear your voice. We are not in a rush. We are not in a hurry. We are here for you, Lord. You know each of us, Lord. You know where we are at. And I ask you, so this morning, you would talk to every single person in this room. Even people who may not know you, I ask you, so you would talk to them, you would speak, so they would hear your voice in their hearts. Speak to the hearts of people who are tired, who are exhausted, who burn out. You know where everyone is at, Lord. And I ask you, so every person this morning will hear your voice loud and clear in the core of their spirit. Increase your presence with us, Holy Spirit. We need you. And we thank you. We open our hearts to hear. Talk to us, Holy Spirit. Here we are. In September 2018, God challenged me. I heard this loving voice of a father. He told me, son, I want you to run faster. You need to get leaner. And I asked, what? Get leaner? What is that supposed to mean? See, I knew that God wasn't talking about my physical fat. What God was talking about, it's some extra weight that I picked up along my journey. Weight that slowed me down in my walk with the Lord, in running the race that God called me to run. Weight that hold me back. Some things in my life that, some procrastination, some things that some important things I neglect, some habits, some not life-giving things, some attitudes that were not rooted in the Word of God. God challenged me to look at how I spend my time, how I use my time. What are my priorities? It was 15 months ago, and with God's help, we started this journey. He told me, I want you to run faster. See, Apostle Paul, when we look at this scripture, actually this picture, when Joel started to preach about Leave Your Call message, my wife, Natalia, she got this picture of a runner running the race. That's how you leave your call. And so she made this collage, and I thought, well, it's really good, appropriate for me to use it. It's a runner running the race. Apostle Paul saying that, you know, he compares our spiritual walk with an athlete running his race. And Greece used to be a home to many sports events. One of them were Olympic Games, Athenian Games. You know, Greek people, they were into sports big time. And one of those games, it's called Stadion. It's 200 meters. It's a race. Sprint. It's a sprint race. It was very popular and very prestigious race. Out of all sports events, this one was the most popular. Interesting fact that runners on this race, they were running barefoot and naked. And just so you know, before preaching, every time I give my notes to Pastor Joel, so he would just look through and make sure that, you know, he doesn't ask for it. I need it just to make sure that Pastor Joel is comfortable with where I'm going. And when he gave my notes back, he circled the barefoot and naked, and he made a remark, show the picture. So, so there is your pastor here for you. All the runners, they were lining up at the start. They were hearing for a signal from a judge. And as soon as they hear the signal, they rush. Only one thing on their mind, only one person winning. It was very prestigious. To get to this race, it was a huge honor. People from all kind of villages, from all kind of regions, they were competing in order to be in this race. It was the best of the best. And person who won this race, they were getting this crown made of olive leaves, and it was a huge, huge prestige to win this race. So Apostle Paul, he talks about illustrating our life, our Christian walk with this athlete. And verse 24, it says that they all run, but only one wins. They all run. See, some people, they run the race casually. I don't know how you run casually, you know, something like that. You just, you know, no aim, or I don't know how else. I don't really know how you you know, like you do all these things and kind of, I don't know how people run casually, right? And I saw some of them on the streets when I go around the block every night. So no efforts, no aim. No really commitment, no determination. I'm just, you know, I'm just running. I'm just kind of walking around, and, you know, when it's convenient, when it doesn't interfere with my busy schedule, when it's not requiring too much commitment, I run casually. They all run. But Apostle Paul says, you run in such a way so you may win. What way is this, Paul? What are you talking about? What way should I be running? How is that? First of all, we need to understand that Paul didn't tell that we should be competing with each other. It's not about that. What he was talking about the attitude. He was talking about determination. He was talking about approach that we run the race. And this approach is called all in, all in, all in. You know, he was saying, why even bother running the race if you're not going to try to win? I like this quote from this famous football player, John Namath. He said, it should be here on the next slide. He said, if you aren't going all the way, why go at all? So Apostle Paul was challenging these people, saying, run in such a way, give it all. See, people with a casual participant mindset, they don't know what does it mean to give it all for victory, to give it all for the cause. They run holding back. They hold back. They, well, I want to run, but I don't want to give all myself in it. I just want to hold something for myself. I will hold back a bit. I don't want to be crazy like these people. I just want to, you know, I want to run casually. But Paul says, no, you run in such a way. Give it all. Give it all. What Paul was talking about, he was talking about the drive. Lots of people, they scared of the word drive. They think, all these driven people, oh no, scared of those driven people. Yes, people can be driven by wrong motives. People can be driven by pride. People can be driven by all things, and we can talk about it some other time. But Paul was talking about drive. Be driven with a desire to fulfill God's will for your life. Be driven to see the kingdom of God established and grow. To be driven to see God's glory manifested. To be driven by desire to run your race well. Be driven. Be driven. See, I really like this scripture when Apostle Paul says, it's in Philippians, know, dear brothers, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, I forgetting the past and looking forward for what lies ahead. I press on. Look at me, guys. Paul was in his mid-60s when he wrote this passage. And this old man, he's saying, I press on. I'm not just casually running. I'm not just kind of, you know, having fun. I press on towards the end of the race, to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. This is a drive. See, people who lose their drive, what happens to them? They become complacent. Complacency, it's a very dangerous place to be. It's a very dangerous place to live in. I want to ask you this question, church. Are you complacent? Are you complacent? Do you still have this drive? Do you still have this burning desire to run? This burning desire to see God's glory, to see the kingdom of God growing and establishing and advancing, to see people coming to Christ, to see church growing, to see many, many things like that. Do you still have this drive to be part of it? Once we lose it, we become complacent. We serve such an exciting Savior. He deserves more than just casual run. He deserves more from us than just a casual run, casual attitude. I heard this story from Dave when we traveled together to Poland, and I don't know if it's a real story or he just made it up. You never know with this guy. I'm just kidding. I'm enjoying traveling with Dave. Dave, he is that kind of runner. And he read in some book, and the story goes like that. There was a monastery somewhere in the desert in Spain. And it was out of town. Every weekend, people were coming to this monastery with intention to spend some time with God, to get alone with God and just kind of get away from busy life and just spend some time with the Lord. But what was happening, some of these people, even though they were supposed to stay there for a whole weekend, they would come there, spend, hour or so, and they would go back to town. And there was a young monk. He asked the older monk, I can't understand these people. Why they come here and they're in such a rush to leave? They come here, they're supposed to be here for a whole weekend, you know, search God, pray, read the word. But then after a couple hours, they just leave. They lose interest. What's up? What's wrong with these people? And this older monk, he told him this story that one night my dog saw a rabbit. And my dog started to chase this rabbit. It was chasing the rabbit. And then other dogs, they heard my dog chasing the rabbit and they joined the chase. They joined the run. They were chasing through the night. But then one after another, other dogs, they were bored and they were leaving. They were stopped chasing. They were quitting from the chase. Only my dog, it was the only one who was chasing that rabbit till the early morning. The whole night through, it was chasing the rabbit. So this older monk asked the young one, do you understand? Why did I tell you this story? And he said, no, I have no clue. So he told him, my dog was the one who actually saw the rabbit. That's why it was chasing it. And I'm praying this morning, guys, so all of us, we will see this rabbit. We would understand how exciting Christ is, how great this race he put in front of us, how many plans God has for us. Kingdom of God is so amazing. There are so many things, but sometimes we lose sight of it. We hear some other dogs chasing the rabbit and we kind of join the race, but we never get to see it. So then we get bored and we just quit. We say, I don't know. I tried it. It doesn't really work. Or I'm tired. I have other things to do. I need to attend to some other things in my life and things like that. Guys, don't quit the chase. Keep on chasing this rabbit. I just think about Dave. We went to Ukraine a couple months ago, and those trains, we had to take a couple of trains going from town to town. When you sleep on these trains, it so happens that our sleeper were right above the wheel axle, right? And so it's older trains. They make noise. They make lots of... Dave couldn't sleep probably even a couple hours on the trains. And I just look at him. This man, putting himself through those struggles, going from train to train to speak to some rural area, to speak to them 30, 40 pastors in some rural area in Ukraine that nobody even heard of. And I was like, why he's doing that? Why he's doing that? Well, that's why, because he's chasing that rabbit, because he can't stop running, because he is driven. He feels this is where God is moving. This is where kingdom of God needs advancement. This is where God wants him to run, and he does it. I really want us guys, so we would just look and see, did we become complacent? Did we become just fat in a sense that we just became so comfortable that we stopped, we lost our drive. We stopped chasing God's will, chasing what God has for us. And then going back to this, to the passage we started from 1 Corinthians, Apostle Paul says, everyone who competes in games exercise self-control in all things. What Apostle Paul talking about here, it's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. Do you know that being an athlete, it's a lifestyle. Everything in the life of an athlete revolves around his identity. I am an athlete. This is my call. This is who am I. So his diet, his schedule, even the way he rests, everything in his life prioritized around this one fact. I am an athlete. They learn to say no to many things. If something is going to slow them down or get them out of shape, they learn to say no. Otherwise, they will jeopardize their success. They will jeopardize their call as an athlete. They learn to say no to many things. Apostle Paul says that they say no to all, they practice self-control in all things. Why would I do that? It would, if it jeopardized my call. No, thank you. Sorry. I need to keep everything in my life in consistency with my goal, in consistency with who I am. No, I can't afford that. I can't watch this movie. It's full of swearing. Why would I do that? It can drop. I'm a temple of Holy Spirit. I don't want these F words going through my ears. Why would I do that? Why would I watch porn? It can jeopardize my call. It can slow me down. It can hold me back. Why would I go there? Why would I go out with this guy? He's not even Christian. Why would I do something that has potential to jeopardize my future? Why would I do that? So as an athlete, everything, we look in our lives and we learn to practice self-control and we learn to say no to some things. I'm, sometimes having this father-to-daughter conversations with my daughter, Elizabeth. She's 19 right now, and I'm inspiring her, and I'm telling you, Elizabeth, you have a great call in your life. You have an amazing grace that God prepared for you. So make sure that you don't do anything that can jeopardize it. Don't do anything that can somehow pull you off this track. And I tell you this. I tell her that if some guy comes along, you know, like those guys, and hello, baby, or I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm out of touch with this. It's been a while since I saw a movie about that. But so when guy comes like that, your first question, are you in love with Jesus? Are you completely sold out to Christ? Are you crazy about kingdom of God? No, goodbye. But see you later. But I'm a quarterback in the sport team. So long. You know, off you go. But off you go. See you later. See you never. That's it. That's it. There is no first in conversation. Same with you, young guys. Be responsible. Be responsible with our choices. Right? That's what athlete does. Everything in his life wrap around. It revolves around his identity. I'm an athlete. I need to know when I need to say no. Amen? So Apostle Paul, he is, picturing this picture of a athlete. He's staying. He's waiting for a signal. And then he hears the signal. You're on. It's your turn. And there is only one thing on his mind. He can't afford losing a second. He can't afford any distractions. There is only one thing he can be focused on. He runs. This track is your life, and you are this athlete. I really like how Apostle Paul, or other person, because I would like to read from from Hebrews, and we don't really know who wrote it. Some people say it's Apostle Paul, some people say that maybe not. So I would like to read from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. It's very amazing verse about the race. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, he's talking about people before us. He's talking about all these people who were faithful, who ran the race well, and now they gave us the torch. Now they're saying, well, some of these people had to die for Christ. Some of these people had to die for faith, and now they're in heaven, and they're cheering up, saying, hey, come on, guy, come on. You have my torch. Run, run, run. So we have this cloud of witnesses. And he's saying, since we have such a crowd of witnesses, faithful, who are before us, let us strip of every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race that God set before us. Listen to me, guys. God has set a race in front of you. There is a certain track that made just for you. Nobody can run this track. It's just for you. You were made just for this purpose. You were called into the kingdom just for this purpose. It's your turn. It's your corner of a carpet. It's your part. It's your portion. God is on the move. He is building his kingdom. He is advancing his kingdom. God is doing so many things, and he is calling us to be part of it. It's such a great honor to be part of what God is doing. It's such a great privilege to be part of it. Doesn't matter if it's a huge part on stage or a smaller part. We're all part of this huge, amazing mosaic and his masterpiece. And our life, we have chance to be part of it. It's amazing. It's amazing. So he's saying there is a race that was made just for you. Just for you. But in order for us to run it, he's saying, you need to strip away. You need to pull aside every weight. This word weight in Greek is the word okkos. This word indicates not just one thing that's heavy, like a big stone. What it indicates, it's a weight that comes from volume, comes from many things, like a gravel. You guys know what gravel is, right? If you take one small piece of gravel, it's pretty light. You can put it in your pocket, no problem. You can take a couple pieces of gravel, put it in your pocket, you're still okay. But if you have the whole bag filled with gravel, well, good luck carrying it. You can't lift it. What happens? Sometimes when we run our race, you know, and then along the way, we pick up some stones. Well, somebody offended us, we pick up some offense, we pick up some lust. We pick up some bitterness, then some pride. It's a big stone. And then we run, and it's a little bit heavier. We still run, but we kind of, you know, it's like, imagine the person whose his hands are full, his pockets are full, he has a chain full of stuff, and we're trying to run. We're trying to run with all this weight. It holds us back, but we're still trying to run. That's why so many people, they can burn out. Because they try to run being heavy. That's what God told me. He told me, you need to get leaner. You need to trim that fat. You need to fight those things that slows you down and trim them. Strip it off. Lay it aside. So what happens once we run and the Holy Spirit start pointing these things one after another, we're dropping them. I let go of this laziness. I let go of this pride. I let go of this self-indulgence. I let go this waste of time playing PS4 4 hours a day. I let go sitting on Facebook for 5 days a day. I let go of these empty things. And the more things we let go, suddenly you feel, I can run faster. I can run faster. I can run faster. And you let go and you run and you run and you run. And suddenly you see that you can run. You can run. If we could only figure out, if we can only start, Holy Spirit will help you. Sometimes we look in our lifestyle, at our habits, and say, I don't even know if I can ever stop watching this, or I don't even know if I can drop doing that. You can. You can with the power of Holy Spirit. You can with His help. As soon as you focus, as soon as you said, Holy Spirit, here I am. I want to run for you, but see all this weight in my life. Help me. Help me to strip it off. Help me to lay it aside. He will give you grace. He will give you grace how to say no to things. He will give you grace how to stop being self-indulgent. He will give you, He will empower you to run faster because He wants it for you. And then, So all this weight, it's this clutter. It's right. It's all these things that clog our lives. So this word weight means this many things. And then the next word, sin. He says weight, especially sin. Sin is like one of those weights. There are many words in the Greek language that translate it as a sin. There are different type of sins. There is a type of sin when you cross the line or when you intentionally do something bad. But this particular word, hamartia, it's like a subtle thing. This word used, if you try to shoot at something and you missed, you off just a little bit. You fell short. One of the meaning of this word is when you lost your share or you lost part in something. It's like there is a piece of pie, you invite on the party and there is your share, but not pie. I'm not eating pies anymore. Piece of fruit. I don't know. Piece of watermelon. And then there is supposed to be your share, but you somehow waited too long and somebody else ate it and you missed it. It's one of those things when you could have done something. You had opportunity to do something, but you missed it. It's like I remember one time I figured out I have a couple hours. I will come home and I will study the Word of God. But then I came home and I started to watch Seinfeld TV show. And instead of reading the Word of God for a couple hours, I was watching one episode after another. And then I was like, I really felt like I was supposed to read the Word, but I missed it, right? So you missed it. You could have done it, but you missed it. So sin in this particular passage, he draws it as a robber who comes to distract you, who comes to pull you away, to sneak something, to do the switch. So you would kind of, instead of staying on track, you would do something else. So he's saying strip all the weight and also sin. And then next word, guys, I really would like you to pay attention. Next word that in English translated as sin that trips us up, or some translations they say that easily entangles us. This word was used only once in New Testament. Only once. It's a complicated word. It's called euperistatos. Euperistatos. This word actually has three roots. It combines three different words together. And the meaning of it, it's something that skillfully, very strategically surrounds you with purpose to distract you. You run the race, and then imagine some people coming really close to the track and then trying to do, hey, I'm here. Hey, talk to me. Why don't you have a piece of this? Why don't you have a water? Hey, let's talk about that. And they try to distract you. They try to slow you down. They try to break the momentum. They try to somehow break your speed. They try to attract attention to them so you would stop running, so you would start paying attention to what they have to say. Distractions. Distractions are the terrible and very, very, very dangerous enemy. Distraction can rob you, even your destiny, if you don't learn how to overcome it. A couple of weeks ago, we had a prayer night here at church. And Andrew Gell, he shared this word that God gave him, that there is a fight for our hearts. That there are so many things happening around us, some storms, but actual target, it's our heart. Devil, it's not so much after our health or after our finances or after our house or after our dog. What he's after our hearts. So all these storms that are coming, all these things, they cry for attention. He wants us to start worrying about these things, running, going, putting those fires around us. And in process of that, we lose our focus. We being pulled off the track. The purpose of distraction is pull you off the track. And when I thought about it, my family in Ukraine right now, they're going through big, big crisis. There are so many things going wrong. My cousin, he's in the military, and he got blown up in a landmine. He lost his foot just a couple of weeks ago. And then they did a surgery. They cut his leg almost to the knee, and now they need 200,000 euro to replace, and it's all like family out of pocket expenses. So everybody is really in this crisis mode. My grandma, her Alzheimer gets really bad, and they had to put her in a home. She gets very aggressive, and my grandfather had a heart issues, and he had to go through heart surgery. He is 90 years old, but nevertheless, he had to go through heart surgery. My mom, she's a pastor in church, but also she's between Kyiv and her hometown trying to help. And you know, and when you think about it, this storm, it catches your attention, right? It slows you down. You start, and then Natalie, a couple months ago, he got a letter from her work saying, you know what, we're closing your store, so you're out of job, just so you know. So by mid-March, you don't have job anymore. You're being laid off. So all the things coming together, but I made my mind. I'm not going to let any storm pull me off the track. I'm going to pray. I trust God that God is there with my family. I help. I do what I can. I send some finances. I trust the Lord, but I'm not going to allow those worries to steal my heart. I'm not going to allow all the storms to pull me off the track. I'm not going to. And you guys do the same. Don't allow those distractions to pull you off, God's call for your life, to the track that God assigned for you to run. See, sometimes people think that going to heaven, it's the only purpose of salvation. If going to heaven was the only purpose of your salvation, you know what God would do? If he would just kill you. As soon as you speak and pronounce this sinner's prayer, you're just gone, right? But no, you're still here. Why? Why are you still here? Because there is a race. There is a track just for you. So don't allow distractions to pull you off your track. Distractions. And this prayer night, I saw a picture. It doesn't happen often to me. I'm not really a prophetic type. But every now and then, I see things. And I saw a picture. It was a man. He was standing, and his hands were full with stuff. All kind of bags, all kind of packages. And then I saw a hand, and I realized it was hand of Jesus. He was trying to give this man something. It was like a key or button. I don't even know. It was something very important. And this man looked at that, and I saw sad expression on his face because he didn't have capacity to take it. His hands were completely occupied with some other stuff. And for him, in order to get this thing from Jesus' hand, he was supposed to drop those stuff, but he wasn't willing to do that. And he was standing there just looking that there is something amazing that God wants to do in his life. There is some amazing journey that God wants to take him. But he is too busy. He is too clogged. He is full of stuff. He is too distracted. And I heard God was challenging me, saying, make yourself available. Make yourself available. When time comes for you to grab your corner of a carpet, make sure your hands are available. Make sure your hands are not too busy to carry your corner of a carpet. Make yourself available. Church, let's learn how to guard ourselves against distractions, to make sure that we are available for Christ. We're available to run the race that He assigned for us to run. Amen? I would like to give you two quick tips what can help us to trim the fat and be on track. These two things helped me a lot. These two things I've been practicing intentionally for the past 15 months, and you know, they really blessed me. Number one, learn to treasure time. Learn to treasure time. Time is the most valuable thing we have in our lives. Our time. Moses, he was praying this prayer on behalf of the nation of Israel. Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. What does it mean? Teach us to live as if our days are numbered. I have a news for you guys. You're running out of time. You're running out of time. And it's not depressing news. It's amazing news. We're all running out of time. What are we going to do with our time? People obsessed about time. What time is it now? How long is this guy going to preach? I want to go home. When can I start my car? You know, you can hear it about when Joel wraps up. You can hear, pick, 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 you know, people. And this person thinks nobody noticing. Somebody is noticing. When can I go home now? When I can watch my movie? When I can lay on my couch and watch a game? You know, people obsessed about time. What time is it now? What time is it now? What time is it now? The more important question, what am I doing with my time? What am I doing with my time? Life running so fast. How come it's Christmas again? Tell me, how come it's Christmas again? And the more older you become, the faster it goes. When you were a kid, it seems like, oh, it's so long till Christmas. Now you're like, Christmas, Christmas. I only put this stupid tree and now it's back again. I only finished paying my debts from giving all those presents last Christmas and now it's like Christmas again. I've been talking to my grandfather a couple of months ago. He is 90 years old now. And I told him how on the way to Ukraine, I stopped by Portugal in city of Lisbon. City of Lisbon, his favorite place. He was a sailor. He was sailing all over the world. And Lisbon, for some reason, was very special to his heart. So I bought him some souvenirs, and I bought him some special cherry drink called Ginginia. So I talked to him, and he has a drawer with his photo albums from his days in the past. And he took his albums, black and white photos. He was showing me all these pictures. Look at me, we were doing this and that. And asked him, how old were you when those pictures were taken? And he said, well, I was about 40. And I just clicked, I'm about 40. And I told grandfather, I told him, Grandpa, do you feel like it just happened just recently? He said, oh yeah, all these pictures, so fresh in my memory. It's like it just happened like yesterday. It's just like yesterday. And I suddenly look at him, he's in his 90s. He's just got 90. And I like, he thinks that what was in his 40s was just yesterday. I'm just about to be 40. So it means just next thing, I'm 90? We need to get sober, guys. We need to get sober. How are we using our time? See, he said, so we can gain a heart of wisdom. What does it mean? So we can be wise about our choices. We can be wise about what we do with our time. We can be wise about how we budget our time. I really like how Paul says here in the next scripture, Ephesians. He said, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of your time, because the days are evil. This word, making the best use of your time, it's actually in Greek, it's accounted word, which means redeeming or cashing in. So Paul is saying, be careful how you cash in your time. You have only limited amount of those checks. So every time you spend a minute, every time you spend an hour, every time you spend a day, be careful. Is it really worth it? Is it really good investment? When I was a kid, I remember one time in the New Year, my mom gave me some pocket money. See, growing up, we didn't celebrate Christmas because it was Soviet Union. We didn't believe in Christmas. We celebrated New Year. It was a big thing for us. So my mom gave me some money. And I went and I was spending them and buying my friends, ice cream or tea or something. And then I realized, oh, I only have like one ruble, like $1 left. And when I realized how actually small I have left, I became very cautious about how I was spending it. See, when we think that we have limitless amount, when we think that we have too much of something, we tend to waste it. If we think that, oh, I have so much time ahead, I'm only 20 years old, I can postpone all these things, I can have fun, I will just relax, I'll take it easy, you know, I'll gain speed later. Well, you won't. You won't. You don't know, because, you know, none of us even promised tomorrow. The time to start trimming your fat, and the time to start being careful about your time is right this second. It's right now. It's not tomorrow. It's not next Monday. It's not January 1st. As Dave said, in January, people start making resolutions. Make your resolutions here, December 15th. Let today be the day when you make this decision. Lord, teach me to live my life as if my days are numbered, so I can gain heart of wisdom. So every minute I use it with your divine wisdom. I invest and cash in my time the best possible way with responsibility. Some people, they never do anything unless they have a deadline. You know, they procrastinate for hours, for days, and then they have a deadline. You know, by this Friday it needs to be done. Suddenly, the Thursday before that, they start working. Well, there's a news for you guys. We all have a deadline. We all have a deadline. If you think you don't, you're mistaken. Go to some funeral. We all have a deadline. Number two, get your priorities straight. What fills up your day, your week, your months? What takes up your time? I really like this quote from Stephen Covey. He wrote a great book I really recommend to you, Seven Habits of Successful People. And this quote says this: the key is not to prioritize what's on your schedule, but to schedule your priorities. What are your priorities? Is a prayer your priority? Schedule it. Is reading the Word of God is one of your priority? Schedule it. Is spending time with your family is your priority? Schedule it. Is finishing this book is your priority? Schedule it. Is finishing that song is your priority? Schedule it. Don't just prioritize your schedule, but schedule your priorities. Figure out, determine what are you living for? Who matters the most? What matters the most? What God is calling you for? What are your priorities? And schedule it. And schedule it. And stick to it. I would like you guys to remember one thing. If you forget everything I said, remember this one thing. Your priorities determine your capacity. Your priorities determine your capacity. When you prioritize your life carefully, when you put God first, when you look at your life and you keep high on your priority list all the important things that really matters, it increases your capacity for some things in your life that are life-giving, things that add value to your life, things that really bless you and people around you. They make your life meaningful. They help you to live your life the way so when you look back, you see, I didn't waste it. It wasn't a waste. I did something. I left some legacy. I ran the race well. If you don't do that, if you don't prioritize your life, what would happen? You would go running around being distracted by all the little small things, urgent things that cry for your attention. You would be spending time here, and you would never have a time left, no capacity left to actually invest yourself in something that really matters. And that's what happens. Those areas that are really important, you'll be neglecting it. And when you neglect it, what happens? It's going to starve. And then you're getting closer and closer to the point of permanent damage, when it will be too late to fix it. Your health, your relationships, your family, relationship with your children, with your spouses, with God, with church. Make sure you keep important things high on your priority list and schedule them. Rethink your priorities. Do it monthly. Do it weekly. What are my priorities? What takes up my time? You know, so many times I hear that. Busy, everybody's busy. Well, I heard it in the Bible too once, and I really like how Jesus addressed that. In book of Luke, chapter 10, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations. She was busy with preparations. She was interesting that Jesus says distracted. She thought she was doing something that was really matter, but she was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work all by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed how many? Only one. What is not negotiable for you? Who is the most important for you? What is most important for you? By properly organizing our priorities, we being faithful stewards of our times, of our time, our life, we make room for God in our life. Some of you here, guys, there is callings on your life. Some of you are artists or singers or musicians. I'm a musician. Okay, how many hours a week you practice? Zero. I don't think you're a musician. I'm an artist. Okay, how many hours a month you actually sit down and do something artistic? I don't have time, I'm too busy. Either you're not an artist or you're just wasting, you're killing, you're neglecting your gift, you're neglecting your call. What is the most important for you? At closing, I would like to share just one thing that I really feel in my spirit. I believe that God is leading our church into the season of acceleration. There are different seasons. There is a season of restoration. There is a season of preparation. There is a season of healing. But there is a season of acceleration. When things getting fast. This year I took 35 flights. I counted yesterday. 35 flights. Some of our trips are long destinations. You need to take lots of connection flights. And you know this feeling when taxi putting plane on the runway. You're going left, right, and then you set. And you hear engine revving. Every cell in my spirit, I can feel those engines are revving. God wants to accelerate. We are right. Just look at those series that Joel been preaching in last year. Time to stretch ourselves. Time to grow up, maturity. Time to take off. If you analyze the messages, what God was leading, the prophetic words, you can see how God is positioning us for take off, for speed, for run. How can we accelerate if we are too heavy? If we have so much weight, how can we accelerate? So God is challenging us. In order for us to step into the season, we need to start stripping off the weight and laying aside. And as I speak, I believe Holy Spirit pointing something in your lives, what you can strip off, what you can lay aside to be ready. I can hear this force in my spirit. Be ready. Be ready. Be ready. This is what Holy Spirit telling you. Be ready. There was a man in the Bible who experienced acceleration. It's Elijah. There was time when he ran for 20 miles ahead of the chariot. He ran fast. What Bible says, it's in It says that, it's a previous slide, First King. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he gathered up his garment, and he ran before Ahab. First of all, supernatural accelerations, it's not about our efforts. The hand of the Lord was on him. Holy Spirit will empower us. Holy Spirit will give us strength and speed to run. But what he did, he gathered up his garment. Next slide will show you something. Prepare it just for you guys so you know how to do that. It's called how to gird up your loins. You know, this dress, this is exactly how Elijah was dressed up. This is like a traditional dress of a man back in the day. But you can't run like that. You can't, if you try to run like that, you will trip off and fall. So in order to run fast, what Elijah did, it's like six-step thing. Try it at home when you come home. He gathered his clothes, put it, and he prepared himself. So this is what I feel in my spirit, that God wants us to run faster than we ever ran before. But he's telling us, prepare yourself, get in shape, get your priorities right, learn to value time, trim the fat, drop all the extra weight, strip off the extra weight, so nothing will distract you. Get ready, get ready, get ready. Can you hear it in your spirit, church? Can you hear it? God wants to move us. There is something amazing laying ahead of us. So he's saying, be ready. Be ready. Let's stand, church. Let's stand and close in prayer. You know, the first step, maybe some of you here today and you don't know Christ. You never made Jesus Lord of your life. You never made Jesus your Savior. If it's you today, I want to tell you, God loves you. Jesus came from heaven to this earth. He walked with his disciples and he gave his life on a cross for you. He took punishment for our sins upon himself. So we can walk with him. So we can become God's children. So we can live in eternity. God loves you. I would like us all say this prayer together. And if you're here for the first time and you never prayed, but you would like to receive Jesus, you would like to start following Jesus, you would like to know God, just pray with us. Say, Father God, let's pray together. Father God, I believe that Jesus is your son. And I receive you in my life. I ask you, so you clean my heart. Clean me from every sin. And I receive you as my Savior. Help me to follow you all of the days of my life. Amen.